preparing a sermon is always a very challenging task because I not only want to share something that is helpful, but I want to share something that the Lord wants to say to our community. Anyway, two nights ago, I was preparing this message, and Harumi said to me, "Are you going to bed?" It was very late. And I said to Harumi, "I just want to read a little more so that while I'm sleeping, the Lord can speak to me about whether I should use any of this material. Maybe my message will all come together when I get up." That's what I was hoping. So I read a little more and then went to sleep. And that night, I had a very interesting dream. I dreamt that I walked into an elevator that was very spacious. I saw the elevator doors close, and then I heard a noise and felt the elevator go up. When I arrived at the second floor, instead of the door opening, the walls of the elevator moved in toward me like a vise. It was about a foot less on every side. Then the elevator went up again. When I arrived at the third floor, the walls moved in even closer toward me. This kept happening until I arrived at the eighth floor. At this point, the elevator had become so narrow that I was unable to move. Have you ever been in an MRI machine where you were unable to move? That is what it felt like on the eighth floor. I don't normally feel claustrophobic, but on the eighth floor, I wanted to get out of there. It was at this point that I started crying out to God to get me out of the elevator. But instead of the door opening, the elevator proceeded to go up to the next floor. When I arrived at the ninth floor, the walls pressed against me tightly. I couldn't do anything about it. Then I heard a noise again, and the elevator went up. When I arrived at the 10th floor, the feeling of being squeezed was no longer bearable. I closed my eyes and cried out to the Lord to get me out of the elevator. Then I heard a ding, and the elevator walls returned to how they were originally when I entered the elevator on the first floor. Everything was spacious again. I slowly stepped out of the elevator, and it was at this point that I woke up from my dream. My first thought when I woke up was, thank God it was only a dream. But the more I reflected on the dream over the course of the day, the more it lingered with me, and the more I felt that the Lord had answered the prayer I had prayed before I went to bed, that he would speak to me about the message and help me to know what he wanted to say. Now, I can't prove to you that this dream was from the Lord. Maybe reading Midrash before I went to bed caused this dream. Or maybe it was that second M&M ice cream cookie that I ate. And by the way, M&M ice cream cookies, which they sell at Food Lion, are ridiculously addictive. Miriam and I have made a pact to eat only one max per day. Maybe this was the source of the dream. But it is also possible that the dream was from the Lord. And maybe there is a lesson in it for all of us. What would that lesson be? This is what I would say. And it is something I encourage all of you to bring before the Lord in prayer. Over the next 10 days, the Lord wants to squeeze all of us. We are actually in a season of squeezing that is supposed to draw us heavenward, closer and closer to God. During the 10 days of awe, from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, the Lord wants to squeeze out of all of us all of the anger and bitterness and conceit and cowardice, and criticizing, and disbelief, and discouragement, and divisiveness, and disobedience, and disrespect and egoism and envy and greed and gossip and grumbling and guilt and hard-heartedness and hypocrisy and impatience and indifference and ingratitude and irreconciliation and irritability and jealousy and judging and laziness and lukewarmness and lust and lying and mercilessness and mistrust and oversensitivity and pity and self-righteousness and stinginess and touchiness and unreliability and worrying and all the other junk that we have been harboring in our hearts and that we have not dealt with and decimated during the year 5774. Can any of us relate to some of the areas I mentioned? Do any of us have some of this junk inside of us? Or am I clueless? Back to my dream. I think Hashem wanted to encourage all of us that he is ready, willing, and able to squeeze these things out of our lives. But there is an important part that we have to do in order for this to happen. What is it? We have to take the high holidays seriously. And I'm not talking about going to a few services, which is wonderful, but I'm talking about being willing to be squeezed for 10 days. Yochanan, the beloved disciple of Yeshua, the Messiah of Israel, writes in 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 through 9. Let's all say this together. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Let's keep this on the screen for a moment. And I have two comments about this passage from 1 John. First, notice the if, I-F. That is a big if. If we confess our sins, if we confess our sins, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will do exactly what he says he will do here because God keeps his promises. In other words, we have to do our part before Hashem does his part. If we confess our sins, then he will forgive us and purify us. But what does it mean to confess our sins? You can take it down now for a moment. We're going to bring it back up, though, momentarily. Rabbi Joseph Telushkin writes in his book, A Code of Jewish Ethics, quote, from Judaism's perspective, repentance without verbal acknowledgement is invalid. A person may think to herself, from now on, I shall be honest in my business dealings, or I'll stop berating my child when he can't solve his math problems. What's the matter with you? Are you stupid? Rabbi Joseph Soloveitchik teaches that such thoughts are commendable, but as long as they are not expressed verbally, they do not comprise an act of repentance. Only after confession has been made can repentance be effective. As the Talmud teaches, devarim shebelev einam devarim, thoughts in the heart, that is, thoughts that have not been articulated out loud, are as if they do not exist, unquote. Rabbi Telushkin goes on to explain that the person repenting should do what they can to undo the damage that they have done and ask for forgiveness. In addition, they should resolve not to sin in this way again and carry out their commitment, that is, putting their words into actions. My second comment about 1 John chapter 1, if we could put it back on the screen, is notice the word purify, purify us. It's not just that God will forgive us if we make a confession of our sins. He will actually get rid of the junk inside of us. He will clean us on the inside. And this is possible because of the life and the death and the resurrection of Yeshua, the Messiah of Israel. Thank you. We can put it down now. Thank you. We should view the 10 days of awe, the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, as a time to squeeze ourselves by confessing our sins and our sinful tendencies, and make it a time to receive God's forgiveness and his purification that comes when we do our part. But what if we run out of things to confess during these 10 days? What if we come to the end of our list before the 10 days are over? Well, if this happens, do I have a deal for you? We should take it to another level and ask God to squeeze us directly by examining our hearts and showing us any sins that we are unaware of, like cobwebs in the corner of a room. You know, a few weeks ago, we had a number of people over to our house to celebrate Ian and Maggie coming on board our staff as interns. And I don't know, I guess I was just thinking, boy, we need to kind of make sure the house is kind of clean when people come. I just started noticing cobwebs, like on our front door, at the corner of the door, in the porch area, there were cobwebs. I never noticed them before. You know, I would go in and out every day, several times every day. Never. Do you know you might have cobwebs in your house? Go home. I'll bet you do. And I'll bet you never noticed some of them. Wow, those spiders were really taking a lot of time, and you never noticed. Go home and see. King David describes this second level of making teshuvah, this seeing the cobwebs in our lives, when he writes in Psalm 139, verses 23 through 24. He says, Chachreni el, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. When we ask Hashem to examine our hearts and show us the junk that we cannot see, those cobwebs that I was talking about, he will do it. I guarantee you, or your money back. He will also point out the junk we can see and have not yet repented of due to our own stubbornness. If during the 10 days of awe we stop feeling squeezed, if during these 10 days we stop feeling squeezed, I think this is a sign that we need to ramp up our repentance. We should not become satisfied and think, I've repented enough, I'm done. If we can't think of anything else to repent of, and we're not seeing the Lord shine new light on the cobwebs in our lives, then we should turn to repenting for the sins of our families and for Israel and for the other people groups and nations we are a part of. We can even repent on behalf of humanity before God. Who here is a human being? Whoa, some of us aren't. Okay, so. There is really no end to the things we can repent of before the Lord. The fact is that as we approach the holiest day of the year, Yom Kippur, our repentance should grow only more intense, even as the walls of the elevator were intensely squeezing against me more and more as I approached the 10th floor. Some of us may think that we have committed the unpardonable sin or have gone beyond Hashem's ability to forgive us, even if we repent. But I want to remind you this morning that this is not the case. Our God is a God of rachamim. He is a compassionate and gracious God. King David even committed murder and adultery, but the Lord fully forgave him after he repented sincerely from his heart. But did David confess his sins? Yes, he did. He confessed them in the Psalms. And for thousands of years, we've been reading his confessions. After Yeshua was arrested, Peter was ashamed of being his disciple and denied knowing Yeshua three times. But later, Yeshua forgave him. There is no sin too big for God to forgive if a person confesses with all of their hearts. But just remember that today is the day of repentance. Today is Rosh Hashanah. The time is now, because your heart may grow cold later due to the pride that is within us. The Midrash teaches us that, quote, when a person sins during the year, a record of his transgression is inscribed in faint ink. If that person repents during the 10 days of awe, the record is erased. If not, it is written in indelible ink, unquote. The pain of the squeezing process comes from injuring our pride, especially when we have to confess our sins to others and ask their forgiveness for the wrongs that we have committed. Who likes to do that? Who likes to go to another person and say, you know, I did this terrible thing to you. I'm so sorry. It is humiliating, and it makes us feel low, even like lowlifes, to do this. But that is part of the healing process. The pain of squeezing also comes from having to give up sinful habits and behaviors that have become so much a part of our lives that it feels almost like an amputation to give them up. Does anyone here know what I mean? But when we submit ourselves to this process, when we take the high holidays seriously and allow the Lord to do his work in our lives, then this leads to another kind of big squeeze that all of us, I hope, will experience by the end of the Yamim Noraim, the 10 days of awe. What is this squeeze that I'm talking about? Yeshua said in Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 24, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. You see, he confessed. He confessed to his father. That was humiliating. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with rachamim, compassion for him. The father ran to his son, threw his arms around him, squeezed him tight, and kissed him. The son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and now is found." What is the big squeeze awaiting us at the end of the 10 days of awe? Can you guess? When we squeeze out all of the junk inside of us, I want us all to know that the Lord does not deny us or abandon us because we are such a mess. Rather, he is there waiting for us. He is waiting to run to us and throw his big arms around us and kiss us. Who here wants to experience that kind of big squeeze during the high holidays this year? The other day, my mother sent me an email saying, "I was remembering back to when you were born and how I just loved holding you in my arms and having you cuddle in my arms." And she said, "It was one of the most wonderful times of my life." And I wrote her back and said, "Mom, I wish I could remember." I remember my mom hugging me, my father hugging me, squeezing me. It's a wonderful thing to be squeezed by your father and your mother. Who here wants to experience that kind of big squeeze during the high holidays this year? Rosh Hashanah is called the Festival of Second Chances for a reason. It is a time when the Lord gives all of us, prodigal sons and prodigal daughters, a second chance to return to him. Let's not wallow in the mud with the pigs. Over the next 10 days, let's return to our Father in heaven, who loves us deeply and is waiting to embrace us with his heavenly arms. Let's pray.